And good afternoon. You're listening to Ken Hudnall. This is a Ken Hudnall show. Coming to you from our studios right here in exciting El Paso, Texas. Gateway to the Old West and the most haunted city in the country. Well, today's May 18th, 138th day of the year by the Gregorian calendar. The leap year is just 139th day. In the year 332, Emperor Constantine the Great announced free distributions of food to the citizens in Constantinople. 872, Louis II of Italy is crowned for the second time as Roman Emperor at Rome. He's 47 years old. His first coronation was 28 years earlier, in 844, during the reign of his father, Lothair. In 1096, the First Crusade. Around 800 Jews are massacred in Worms, Germany. 1152. The future Henry II of England marries Eleanor of Aquitaine. He'd become king 2 years later after the death of his cousin, King Stephen of England. 1268, the Principality of Antioch, a crusader state, falls to the Mamluke Sultan Baybars in the Siege of Antioch. You know, the First Crusade was the most successful. Kingdoms were created. 1291, the fall of Acre and the end of the Crusader presence in the Holy Land. 1302, Bruges Maiden, the nocturnal massacre of the French garrison in Bruges by members of the local Flemish militia. 1388, during the Battle of Buyuk Lake, General Lan Yu leads a Chinese army forward to crush the Mongol hordes of Togus. Now, let's see. Equipment's falling apart here. Let's see, 1388, during the Battle of Buyer Lake, did that one. 1499, Alonso de Ojeda set sail from Cadiz on his voyage to what's now Venezuela. 1565, the Great Siege of Malta begins, in which Ottoman forces attempt and fail to conquer the island of Malta. 1593, playwright Thomas Kidd's accusations of heresy lead to an arrest warrant for Christopher Marlowe. 1631, in Dorchester, Massachusetts, John Winthrop takes the oath of office and becomes the first governor of Massachusetts. 1652, slavery in Rhode Island is abolished, although the law is not rigorously enforced. 1756, the Seven Years' War begins when Great Britain declares war on France. 1783, first United Empire loyalists reach Parrtown, later St. John, New Brunswick, in Canada. After leaving the United States. 1794, the Battle of Tourcoing during the Flanders Campaign of the War of the First Coalition. 1803, Napoleonic Wars. The UK revokes the Treaty of Amiens and declares war on France. 1804, Napoleon Bonaparte is declared Emperor of the French by the French Senate. 1811, the Battle of Las Piedras. First great military triumph of the Revolution of the Rio de la Plata in Uruguay, led by José Artigas. 1812, John Bellingham is found guilty and sentenced to death by hanging for the assassination of British Prime Minister Spencer Percival. One thing I might want to mention at this point is as we put a new roof on the house, which was a total disaster. And the roofers never met the requirements of the city. It didn't pass inspection, and they just walked away and said, basically, screw you. So the mold that has grown has given me pulmonary disease, and it's called scarring of the lungs. So if my voice fades out, that's why. It's also affected my breathing. And, of course, the city, in its infinite wisdom, thinks the roofers are fine, upstanding people because they take them out to lunch every day. 1843, the disruption in Edinburgh of the Free Church of Scotland from the Church of Scotland. 1848, opening of the first German National Assembly in Frankfurt, Germany. 1860, Abraham Lincoln wins the Republican Party presidential nomination over William Seward, who later becomes the Secretary of State. 1863, the Siege of Vicksburg begins. 1896, Supreme Court rules in Plessy versus Ferguson that separate but equal is constitutional. 1896, Kodiak, the tragedy, a mass panic on Kodiak Field in Moscow during the festivities of the coronation of Russian Tsar Nicholas II results in the deaths of 1,389 people. 1900, UK proclaims a protectorate over Tonga. 1912, the first Indian film, Sri Pundalik, by Dada Saheb Torne, is released in Mumbai. 1917, the Selective Service Act is passed, giving the President of the U.S. the power of conscription. In other words, the first draft for World War I. 1926, evangelist Amy Semple McPherson vanishes in Venice, California. 1927, the Bass School disaster. 45 people, including a lot of children, are killed by bombs planted by a disgruntled school board member in Michigan. If you're disgruntled, quit. Also in 1927, after being founded for 20 years, the government of the Republic of China approves Tongji University to be among the first national universities of the Republic of China. 1933, FDR signs an act creating the Tennessee Valley Authority as part of his New Deal. 1944, the Battle of Monte Cassino. Conclusion, after 7 days of the fourth battle, as German paratroopers evacuate Monte Cassino. 1944, deportation of the Crimean Tatars by the Soviet Union government. 1948, first legislative yuan of the Republic of China officially convenes in Nanking. 1953, Jackie Cochran becomes the first woman to break the sound barrier. 1955, Operation Passage to Freedom, the evacuation of 310,000 Vietnamese civilians, soldiers, and non-Vietnamese members of the French Army from Communist North Vietnam to South Vietnam following the end of the First Indochina War. 1965, Israeli spy Eli Cohen is hung in Damascus, Syria. 1969, Apollo 10 is launched. 1973, Aeroflot Flight 109 is hijacked mid-flight, and the aircraft is subsequently destroyed when the hijacker bomb explodes. All 82 people on board were killed. Just don't make bombs like they used to. 1974, under Project Smiling Buddha, India successfully detonates its first nuclear weapon, becoming the sixth nation to do so. 1977, the Likud Party wins the 1977 Israeli legislative election. Menachem Begin is the sixth prime minister of Israel. He's also the founder of the party. 1980, Mount St. Helens erupts in Washington, kills 57 people, causes $3 billion in damage. Also in 1980, students in Gwangju, South Korea, begin demonstrations calling for democratic reforms. 1990, in France, a modified TGV train achieves a new real world speed record of 320.2 miles per hour. 1991, Northern Somalia declares independence from the rest of Somalia as a Republic of Somaliland, but is not recognized by the international community. 1993, riots in Nørrebro, Copenhagen, caused by the approval of the four Danish exceptions to the Maastricht Treaty referendum. Police opened fire on civilians for the first time since World War II and injured 11 of the demonstrators. 1994, Israeli troops finished withdrawing from the Gaza Strip, ceding that area to the Palestinian National Authority. 2005, a second photo from the Hubble Space Telescope confirms Pluto has two additional moons, Nix and Hydra. 2006, the post-Luck Tantra Andalan government passes a landmark bill curtailing the power of the monarchy, making Nepal a secular country. 2009, the LTTE are defeated by the Sri Lankan government, ending almost 26 years of fighting between the two sides. 2015, 78 people at least are killed in a landslide caused by heavy rains in the Colombian town of Salgar. 2018, a school shooting at Santa Fe High School in Texas kills 10 people. A lot of births and deaths on this particular date over the years. We're not going to address those. We are going to talk about holidays and observances. Christian Feast Day. Efigifu of Shaftesbury, Eric the Ninth of Sweden, Felix of Cantalice, Pope John the First, Venantius of Camerino, and it's Eastern Orthodox liturgics for May 18th. Victoria Day in Canada, earliest possible date of the last Monday preceding May 25th. Baltic Fleet Day in Russia, Battle of Las Piedras Day in Uruguay. Day of Remembrance of the Crimean Tatar Genocide in Ukraine. Flag and Universities Day in Haiti. Independence Day in Somaliland, which is not recognized by anybody except Somaliland. International Museum Day. Malavakai Remembrance Day in Sri Lanka and Tamils. Revival, Unity, and Poetry of Magdaguli Day in Turkmenistan. Teachers Day in Syria, Victory Day in Sri Lanka, and World AIDS Vaccine Day. That's a United Nations deal. All right, let's see if we can find our Well. There we go. We have to get to the state that we were talking about. Or we were talking about California, which is quite a haunted state. I have to give it that. Let's see. All right. We have Let's talk about Edwards Air Force Base, Chapel 2. There was a sighting of a slow-moving flying black apparition above Chapel 2 on Edwards. Two witnesses claimed the object was hovering 20 feet above the steeple of the chapel, and then it changed direction to follow the two eyewitnesses. Once they got to work, they told two others about the flying object, and they all went outside to see it was still slowly making its way toward the flight line. It never changed altitude during the entire sighting and seemed to be on a direct course. Made its way to the flight line and went out of sight as it worked its way away from the hangar where the witnesses were watching. This was on a Sunday morning in May of 2007. Then in El Cajon, Chase. Witnesses reported balls of light and strange smoke smells. Apparently these balls of light show up literally every night. Then there's Central Union High School and the gym in El Centro. Witnesses reported the high school's gym is haunted. Many times after school, a basketball being bounced is heard as if somebody was playing. And you can hear the sound of fans cheering. But when witnesses go and check, there's never anybody in the gym. And nobody knows the origin of this basketball game. or how long the haunting's been going on. Then also at Central Union High School in El Centro is the library in the library basement. Now inside the actual library building itself, it's almost impossible to go a night without hearing doors being slammed and footsteps being heard, people talking in the rows at the back of the library. And in the basement of the library is a damp, dark maze of rooms and hallways that was once used for detention back in the early and late 1980s. It was affectionately called the dungeon because of the footsteps and the crying and laughing that were often heard by witnesses. Attempts to find out what was causing the sounds were always a failure. Then there's Crest Theater in El Centro. At night, the employees would be spooked by voices actually talking to them. Some nights when the sound system would be turned off, they'd become alarmed when it would start to blare music. And throughout the theater, a number of witnesses have felt a lot of cold spots. Then in El Centro's Dogwood Road. Said if you drive along this road after midnight, occasionally you'll see a girl walking alongside the road. If you're stopping off for a ride, she'll get in, but she won't say anything, and eventually she fades away. And it said if you don't give her a ride, she'll sit on top of your hood and try to make you crash. According to the story, she died in a very grisly accident along that road, and she comes back. Why? Nobody seems to know. Then in El Centro's the Imperial Valley Arts Council. Formerly in the old post office pavilion. And it's now the home of the Imperial Valley Arts Council. Building is located in the center of the city of El Centro between 5th and Brighton Streets. It's a beautiful architectural Baroque Italian Renaissance construction. And built back in the 20s for the housing of the Valley's local cultural events. A wide 800-square-foot basement's found underneath, and that seems to be the home of the ghost, or at least the center of the unexplained disturbances, according to building employees. They claim in the early evening, loud noises are heard coming from the basement, like the slamming of doors, even though they are closed, locked, and have heavy sandbags put in front of them so they're impossible to open. They also report hearing scratching noises on the walls. It's also claimed these disturbances to be caused of the tapping sounds, like an old typewriter being operated. Now, the building is recorded as one of the most historic buildings in the state. That's still operational. You can go to the El Centro Chamber of Commerce or the City of El Centro Business Council for more information on this particular haunting if you decide you want to investigate it. Then in El Centro is the old Fox Theater. It said a man died there. When you walk down the aisle, you can feel cold spots at about aisle number 8. In El Dorado, California, the El Dorado Cemetery. After dark, you can see orbs and ectoplasm and what have you. There's a child's voice that's frequently heard by witnesses. There's also been a report of a teen couple who were just trying to get scared. Young man looked in the rearview mirror of his car and saw an elderly man leaning on the car and looking in at him. Young man took off. Later he found handprints on the trunk of his car, as if somebody had tried to hold on and slid off. Then El Monte High School. Said that a young man hung himself in the school's auditorium in the early 1900s. Late at night, it's also said the piano plays in the band room. And in the daytime, strange things occur during drama practice. Then there's Lambert Park Gymnasium in El Monte. Excuse me. There have been numerous accounts from employees and other people of a ghostly little girl in the attic of the gymnasium. And the ghost of a young man has been seen in the locker room. Nobody knows who either one is or what caused them to haunt that location. Then there's Mountain View High School in El Monte. Late at night, people see shadowy figures running around the track, playing football, and if you look carefully, there's a figure hanging from the goalpost on the football field. Nobody knows of anybody having been hung, but a number of witnesses have independently reported seeing that figure hanging from the goalpost. Then in Elk Grove, California, the old downtown Elk Grove Boulevard. Sightings of a woman dressed in white walking the streets, but when you turn back to try to see her face, you don't see anything but darkness. She doesn't seem to have a face. A lot of witnesses have said she's seen walking up to the railroad tracks, and then she vanishes. Then in Encino, there's the Bagel Nosh restaurant, formerly the L.A. Cabaret. When it was the comedy club, there were two ghosts reported by witnesses. One was a pretty woman dressed in the 50s era, sitting in a corner booth in the back of the main showroom. She always seemed to be happy and fun-loving. The other ghost was a man, usually seen in the kitchen area in the control room. One employee working late one night, closing the bar, and felt a presence that they generally associated with the male ghost. The sensation of impending danger grew in intensity, and finally the employee went out the front door and said, figured he would finish up what he needed to do the next day. Now, it's not known if the male ghost meant harm or was just warning him about something, but the employee said he'd never had that feeling of being cold to the very core like he did that night. Nothing was found out of place the next day, I might add. Then in Eureka High School Auditorium. Been a lot of stories told of two restless ghosts that wander the auditorium. First is a man who fell from the balcony during the building's construction during the 20s and in some fashion got decapitated. The second ghost seems to be that of a young girl who, after losing the leading role in the school play in 1954, hung herself in the lighting booth in full view of the actress on stage. Now, the actress is said to have taken no notice of the corpse on the balcony and continued the show, but it did kind of put a damper on excitement after the show was over, I might add. Then in Eureka, there was Fort Humboldt. Large heavy objects are heard to be moved across the floor at night. Sightings of former post commander who died of malaria in 1859 is looking out the window of the old hospital building. Witnesses report lights going on and off and objects falling. These events have been reported sporadically since the 50s. Beginning about 1993, they began to happen on a regular basis. And most recent reports are they are still happening. In Fair Oaks, the Sailor Bar at the American River. A drowning victim in wet clothes quite often approaches visitors. And there have been a number of drownings that have happened there. Parker Ranger was locking the restroom for the night on one particular evening when this ghost appeared wearing wet fishing clothes. And then when he realized he'd been seen, he vanished. Fairfax. Camp Booth Inn. Used to be an Indian reservation in the early 20s, became a hospital for tuberculosis patients. Now it's used as a Girl Scout camp, but it still has the original sinks from the hospital. And it's said you can hear a ghost of a nurse pushing her cart up and down the halls, moaning and screaming, and there have been appearances and disappearances, and some witnesses report seeing ancient Indian spirits as well. Let's see. In Fallbrook, the Santa Margarita River Bridge. A number of stories concern ghosts haunting this bridge. During a California gold rush, a small wagon train was ambushed and killed at the river right near the new bridge. In the early 1900s, the same year Fallbrook Union High School was first established, on the first prom night, three pairs of teens disappeared and later found floating in the river. More than a dozen strange occurrences were in the police reports regarding that area of the river. Once the sun drops below the mountains, your life is in danger, according to most reports. Also in Fallbrook, the Enterprise newspaper press room. Back in 1962, in that room, the sick daughter of one of the press workers was pushed into the presses by an unknown force. To this day, the apparition of a small girl will pull on your pants if you get too close to the presses. Apparently, she don't want you to become pressed, as it were. Then in Fallbrook is Jack in the Box. Said back in the 60s, a bunch of hippies went crazy and brutally attacked and killed the workers at the Jack in the Box. Now when a store closes, you can hear the hippies' music and actually see the workers. And really late at night, when there's nobody supposed to be there, you can hear and see the burgers grilling. Also, the bathroom door open and shut forcefully. When you look out the window, you can see an apparition of a worker cleaning those windows. And if you come by at 4:34 a.m., the lights go on, you can see people who died sitting in the restaurant. Then in Fallbrook is Fallbrook High School. Recently, Fallbrook High underwent a thorough remodeling. And you never guess what made the front page news. A gravesite of what was believed to be a Native American chief was uncovered just to the right of the new library building. Now, this happened in September of 1999. Since then, at night, there have been numerous sightings of an orb or orbs. The sound of howling had been heard. A sight of a pack of coyotes running from the area towards the ditch just past the portable buildings has been seen. One or two witnesses even report seeing an Indian teepee. In 2002, there were 14 reports of smoke floating on campus. Nobody ever found a fire. Nobody's been hurt by anything, but a couple was shaken up by a pack of coyotes one night after the 2004 Sadie Hawkins dance ended. Then in Fallbrook, there's Live Oak Park. In the park, there's a couple of large boulders that were used by Native Americans to grind acorns. Acorns were then used to make a sort of bread. The many years of grinding made indentation into the rocks. Police department has 24 reports of an Indian girl being seen grinding acorns on those rocks. The reports all vary in time of day, but the description of the little girl is always very similar. No one has yet had the nerve to approach her. Then in Fallbrook is the Masonic Cemetery. People reported being touched by something they can't see when they enter the cemetery. And when they get near some of the trees in the cemetery, they get a strong surge of heated energy. No one has any idea why. Then there's the Silvergate Retirement Center in Fallbrook. During construction of a new wing in the center, along with Voices of the Children, there were also a few minor occurrences. There were reports from guards of a powerful being, which they thought was a male. It was a very violent spirit. One guard reported it tried to force him over an opening from the second floor to the first floor that now houses a fountain. He managed to avoid being tossed down the hole. Ferndale, California, the Hart Theater. The ghost that haunts the Hart Theater is called Bertha and is often seen late at night. One report claims she takes the form of a phantom cat who strolls down the aisles during performances. She also performs other tricks, such as locking the bathroom door from the inside and answering the phone at night when there's nobody there. Fillmore, Sycamore Tree. While driving at night, usually around midnight, a woman dressed in white floats right next to you about a quarter of a mile when you get to driving by the Sycamore Tree. Legend has it she was hung from that tree during the Mexican-American War. Nobody seems to know the why. Then in Fontana, the A.B. Miller High School Theater. Strange blue lights and many other occurrences have been reported. Sometimes there's banging from within inside the walls and tools ending up in weird places, and no one can ever explain how they got there. A lot of folks say they've seen figures disappear and reappear and heard voices in the catwalk when there's been nobody up there. Legend says that a teenage actress went up under the catwalk trying to fix a light and fell off the ladder and died. Now she haunts the theater. She was trying to help her tech friend, who was actually in charge of the lighting. Then in Fontana's the Big Lots, which is formerly a pick-and-save store. Now this is the Big Lots store located off Sierra and Foothill Boulevard. store is haunted by several ghosts. Number of employees claim to have experienced hearing the noises in the men's and women's room, like something falling on the floor while being inside the toilet stall. And to their knowledge, nobody else was inside the restroom. And then the lights are turned off by themselves, even though the restroom is in use. There have also been noises and voices heard coming from the break room when the lights are off and there's nobody in there. Another area, which is considered to be the area with the most activity, is the stockroom or warehouse. Several voices have been heard, noises of things falling, and there's a former employee who was taking the trash to the back, claims she walked into the warehouse and the light was turned off, and as she's walking back out, she felt something or someone pull her hair out of the bun she had it in. When she walked out, her hair was all messed up and her face was pale. She didn't work nights anymore after that. Several employees claim to be scared or nervous at walking into the warehouse at night. All these things happen after the store is closed and employees are cleaning up, or late at night when the graveyard employees are there. Attempts to question the management always winds up with them denying anything ever happens, as you might suspect. In Fontana, at the Wanda Intermediate School, in the old auditorium next to what's now a cafeteria, there's a narrow staircase that leads up to an upstairs dressing room. The room contains one window, and you'll sometimes catch a glimpse of a young Indian girl standing by the window. Story states this young girl in the 1970s committed suicide by hanging herself and was found with somebody on the staff. Spotted a body hanging through that window. Then there's Foothill Boulevard in Fontana, which is formerly part of the historic Route 66. Between the cross streets of Cherry and Citrus, a young man will appear wearing a striped shirt, carrying a long stick. He'll cross the street right as cars approach, and when the car hits its brakes to try to stop before it hits him, he'll vanish. Witness claims to see the ghost walk through along the right side of the road. Sometimes they report he has a large black dog walking with him. Then there's Mango Elementary School in Fontana. They say in back of the school there was a little girl who would go up a tree. Suppose that it was a treehouse in it at one point, and she would go on top of the tree when her parents would fight. The tree, they said, she would call her best friend, and one day it was windy and she fell out of the tree and died. They say at night you can hear her crying for help, and sometimes you see her fall out of the tree. She wears a white dress and has long straight hair. Then there's Maple Elementary in Fontana. It's haunted by a man who stays at the school in the boys' bathroom and messes with the students and teachers during class time. Nobody knows who he is or why he's there. Then there's the Mary B. Lewis Elementary in Fontana. Hauntings take place between 11 p.m. and 4 a.m. During that time, you can hear footsteps when there's nobody there, and in the bathroom for both the boys and the girls, you can hear the distinct sound of toilets overflowing and even a conversation going on when both of the bathrooms are locked and empty. There are loud bangs in the night and a whispering and a strange feeling when other presence is felt. No one knows who this entity might be. Then Takai Elementary in Fontana. Witnesses there at night report the sound of construction work. Rumor is a construction worker died while the school was being built. In the Sequoia Middle School in Fontana. In the quad by the lunch tables, there sits a little girl. She's crying and bouncing a ball. If you approach her, she'll ask you to play with her, and if you say no, she'll cry and start to follow you around. Now, this happens at sunset when there are no employees there. Then in Forest Hills is Fallsvale Elementary School. Many sightings of the ghost children have occurred over the years in the forest that surrounds the school, and the fenced old school that remains hadn't been used in a while, but it's the same property that it's been a school for as long as anybody can remember. Most children who attend the school seem to accept the presence of these ghosts. It's not uncommon to hear the children address them by name. Now, the old school is actually a great historical landmark. It's securely fenced, and it's the fence is designed to keep the public out, but unfortunately, with kids, that doesn't work. Then in Fort Bragg, California, the entire area is supposedly haunted. Custer is supposed to have... Let me check something. I've been to a lot of posts. I wasn't aware there was a Fort Bragg in California, but apparently there is. According to the story, Custer and his troops traveled up a steep cliff at Pudding Creek. There have been sightings of him and his troops going up the cliff, and there's a path that leads to a woods walkway that heads down toward the ocean. In fact, if you follow it long enough, you can go to McCarricker Park, State Park. It's been claimed that a young lady in medieval clothing was seen walking about searching for her lost lover who died during the Civil War. Now, why she'd wear medieval clothing is anybody's guess. Then there's Glass Beach Inn at Fort Bragg. It's got a chair that's had early eerie happenings. The lady that owns the inn has said that people had died mysteriously and not long after they sat in that chair. I think I'd find another place to sit if it was me. Green Acres Park at Fort Bragg. Witnesses reported hearing humming like a person was singing. But they kept humming the same verse over and over several times on different nights. And witnesses report feeling a very strange chill while that humming is going on. Then there's the Gold Coast Hotel. It's got a ghost. Three witnesses who work at the hotel's bar say that things like glasses have moved by themselves. Nobody knows who the ghost might be. Then there's the Gray Whale Inn, which was formerly the Redwood Hospital. Said to be haunted by a lady, she's often seen roaming around in her garden areas, and there's been the sightings of a man who apparently appears in one of the windows and just watches folks go by. Then in Foster City is the Foster City Levee. Sometime back, a man was being chased by the police because he just shot his co-worker and he stopped at the levee, probably the area across from Beach Park Plaza. While there, he shot himself, and before medical help could arrive, he died. Cold winds have been known to brush past people, leaving the area around you absolutely clear. At night, gunshots have been heard, and strange shapes and shadows have been seen on all parts of the levee. Then Fountain Valley. It's Fountain Valley High School. Sometimes at night in the 100 building, screams of children are heard. Some days when opening the doors, the janitors find lockers open and all the students' belongings stacked on the ground. Five teachers left the school, claiming that there had been poltergeist activity. A lot of students have seen apparitions of mutilated dead students in the bathrooms, which does tend to ruin your afternoon, I have to say. Then in Freedom, California, is the Hawthorne Lane. Back in the 50s, a man murdered his wife here and supposedly disposed of her body in Pinto Lake. Authorities never found her body, and the house she was murdered in remained an untouched murder scene well into the late 1970s. Witnesses reported the piano would play itself, and while inside the house, you could hear a door, a trunk slam, and a car start up. But if you go outside, there's nobody there except the two cars that had been sitting there since the murder. In fact, the odds of them being the cars you heard are very slim since they've been there so long, grass has grown up through the floorboards. The house has cold spots near the closets where the woman's clothing still hangs. Apparently, he walked off and left it, and nothing was ever done after that. Then there's the Bay Street Salon in Fremont, California. When two of the stylists were the only ones in the salon, the bathroom door would lock, and they'd have to retrieve the key and unlock the door. Toilet would then flush, and since it wasn't an auto-flush toilet, That caused some concern. Now, the salon was previously a fire station and a slaughterhouse. So the spirits that enjoy using the bathroom could have come from either. Then in Fremont's Lord Bradley's bed and breakfast. Noises in the dead of night include heavy footsteps and apparitions have been seen by guests. The former owner's daughter would see figures wearing Victorian-style clothing wandering around. Then there's Morrison Canyon Road in Fremont. When you go down the canyon road, you'll find an off-ramp that'll lead you down to a creek. If you can drive all the way down the road. As you go down the road, you'll begin to hear knocking, and about halfway down the road, you'll start to hear a small boy laugh. According to the story, a young boy was killed in the basement of a cottage at the end of the road. He was found by his parents hanging from the rafters, and when they called the police, they told him to... Police said there wasn't any body found in the house, but there were mass amounts of blood washing up on the creek bank. Legend says that if you make it down the canyon, you can still see blood washing up on the creek banks, and you hear a young boy laugh. Best advice anybody can give is be careful, because they don't like trespassers there. Then in Fremont is Mission San Jose. Now, built in the late 1700s, Mission San Jose's had a lot of curious history. The fire destroyed the original mission, and a 1906 earthquake leveled the old church. Now, both have been rebuilt, the church about 12, 14 years ago, and the mission in the 1800s. There are cold spots and mists in the mission itself. A lot of witnesses report feeling strange and seeing mists in the courtyard by the fountain. An old cemetery adjacent to the... church is a site of a lot of disturbances, including unexplained whispers and crying. In fact, several Fremont pioneers are buried there, as well as countless natives. Also inside the church, where there are graves in the floor in the sanctuary, and in front of the altar, a number of sounds have been heard. Severe cold spots are felt near the graves. Across the street from the mission is a historic tavern where witnesses say they've seen several native-looking people in old clothing cross the street and vanish as soon as they enter the courtyard of the mission. Then in Fremont's the Osborne Burial Ground. Now, you can't enter the ground because it's fenced off, but you can read a large plaque designated it as Olon Burial Ground. Orbs have been photographed. It's down the road from the Mission San Jose, which, as I just finished discussing, is very haunted. The Ohlone Indians who died at the mission are said to be buried here. Then in Fremont's Ohlone College, it's in the women's bathroom in Building 3, there's a ghost of a young woman wearing a blue 1960s-style dress. People who go in there, usually young ladies, will see her reflected in the mirror as they wash their hands and primp before going back to address the outside world. Then there's Washington High School, the old senior hall in Fremont. Now, the rest of the school is recently rebuilt, but the senior hall is part of the original plan. Students in there at night have reported hearing more than one set of footsteps in the hall, even though they're the only ones there. Then in Fresno, the adorable Poodle Salon. Now, this shop's had a lot of poltergeist activity. Large, heavy plants that needed two people to move would be moved when the owner arrived in the morning. But nobody but her had access to the shop. She hired a young woman to wash dogs for her, and the entity really took a liking to this young woman. One day, she was taking a break when she noticed the owner was taking a break when she noticed a girl working on a dog and periodically brushing her hand away from her neck as if shooing away a pesky fly. The owner watched for a while as she continued to do this, but didn't see any reason for it. And when suddenly, quite annoyed, this girl said, apparently to the air, "Would you please knock it off?" The owner asked her what was wrong, and she said, "Your damn ghost won't stop kissing me on the neck." Well, after that, it did stop kissing her. The ghost reported cold spots, lights would go on and off, doors would open and close by themselves, and there was a general feeling of being watched when you were alone in a building. You know, Fresno is the Muex home. It's a museum that's claimed to be haunted by a number of spirits. It's believed that most of the haunting is done by deceased members of the Muix family. Now, there are other witnesses who say it's other people, but right now, best guess is it's deceased members of that family. Then in Fresno's Pinedale Avenue, the street's haunted by the Sand Lady of Pendale, who's been seen at night and believed, for no apparent reason, to throw sand in the eyes of people walking by. By the time they get the sand out of their eyes so they can see, she's vanished. This ghost is believed to look like an old Spanish lady carrying a small tote bag, probably full of sand. Then in Fresno is Raymond. There's a haunted fire station in town. Station was closed, but witnesses said lights came on inside, and a door that would constantly open up, even though there was no one there, and the door was locked. Fresno's the San Joaquin River. The ghost of the San Joaquin River pretty much has been sighted along the entire river, but mostly the Highway 99 overpass by Herndon. A lady and her two kids were swimming in the river one day back in the 1950s when the kids were kidnapped. And not long after they were kidnapped, she is said to have allegedly died. Now a brightly white-colored spirit can be seen walking on top of the water in the river calling out to her children. Some say she has the voice of the wind, and the Mexican-American community named her Ibrona. Then in Fresno's the St. John Hall. The basement of St. John Hall is said to be haunted by a nun who appears numerous times each evening. Then in St. Fresno's the Vendo Company. Now, this is a building that's existed for at least 100 years. And before it was Vendo, it was Pinedale Military Base. And before that, it was a lumber yard. In the beginning, it was a Japanese concentration camp. In the mezzanine of the building, you get the feeling of somebody putting their hands on you, grabbing your ankles. Near the cooling tower, a Japanese woman with half her face rotted off has been seen sitting on a green bench that's by a plant entrance. The main building is where they were held and tortured. It's what now is receiving is where they were processed, and a number of folks died. Many bodies buried in the ground that have never been removed. You hear the sound of choked whispering, calling out for help. There's a bathroom up the stairs that a Vendo employee hung himself in 7 years ago. And it's sad he's still there. In fact, a lot of folks will not use that bathroom to this day. Then in Fresno's Roosevelt High School, according to legend, this school has two ghosts. One is a boy committed suicide in the boys' restroom in the East Hall. And then a boy fell to his death in the auditorium while doing a presentation. And these are the two that are said to haunt the building. Then in Fresno's the Tyler Street House. Now, this modest home has been the scene of terrifying poltergeist activity since the mid-80s and still continues. The house has had over 22 different occupants since the phenomenon started. Some have reported seeing red eyes peering out of closets and darkened bedrooms. Objects fly off countertops, and there's been a bludgeoned body of a cat's been found time after time in the upstairs closet. And what's interesting, it's been found by each resident that has lived there, even if they don't own a cat or any animals of any kind, and haven't seen a cat get into the room. Then in Fullerton is the Albertsons. Sometimes when all workers leave, cans of food come flying off the shelves, leaving a huge mess for the workers to clean up when they come back. And there have been the sighting of an old man with a cane who moans and groans as he moves about. And he'll just sometimes just stand and stare at you as he slowly fades away. Then there's Cal State Fullerton Dorm in Fullerton. Witnesses report seeing small glowing balls about 2 a.m. They heard tapping on the walls adjoining to the room when everybody in the apartment was gone. Heard noises like dishes clattering and taps and knocks and the voices of as if somebody was carrying on a conversation even though there was nobody in the adjoining apartment. One witness reported having the feeling that somebody was watching you from behind, but whenever they looked, there'd be nobody there. Then in Fullerton is the Melody Inn.
On the southeast corner of Harbor and Commonwealth, where the old Melody Inn was destroyed by fire in the 80s, an image of the former owner's father appears. He's always seen holding a box of matches. The ghost of Mr. Melody has actually been known to provide a light for a cigarette to customers outside the new business, and then after he lights their cigarettes for him, he'll smile and vanish. Then in Fullerton is the Fox Theater building. It's rumored to have the Michael O'Donnell's ghost guarding the kids in the neighborhood from violence. Michael O'Donnell was the son of a travel agency founder, Dorothy O'Donnell, who had a troubled life with substance and drink, but she had a genuine love for people, especially kids in a rough area. He's said to be seen in the lobby of the theater and sometimes leaning against a wall reading a book. But if the kid's in trouble, he will appear. Then in Fullerton is the Phi Kappa Tau fraternity house. The ghost of a little girl who was murdered in a ravine next to the house has been seen to wander the house at night, sometimes turning on water taps, turning on and off lights, opening and shutting cabinets. And on summer afternoons, sometimes witnesses report to hear her laugh. And in Fullerton is Plummer Auditorium. The tunnels that run underneath Fullerton are accessible from Plummer Auditorium as well as other spots in the town. Many people will tell you about the tunnel ghost. These people are from many different eras. One gentleman from World War II said to follow visitors toward the exits, and when he reached the final exit lights, he'll slowly fade away. He's accomplished his mission. Then there's Ralph's store in Fullerton. Former worker reports boxes moving on their own and encountering a number of cold spots. Then in Fullerton is Stadium Tavern. Ghost inhabits the basement or cellar area, often calling out the names of workers who are cleaning up after hours. A lot of witnesses reported seeing this particular spirit. Garden Grove is the Garden Grove High School. Rumor has it the ghost of a girl named Lizzie haunts the Heritage Hall in the E building. It's said in 1933, when she was exiting from the building, the Long Beach earthquake took place and pieces of the building fell on her and killed her. Lizzie was crushed and died instantly. Janitors and teachers at the school reported hearing voices and doors slamming and even seeing the apparition of a girl in a dress while they worked there at night. Then there's the also a Garden Grove High School. It's the same building haunted by Lizzie, but additional reports say she's turned on the alarms and tripped and pushed people down the hall. When they opened up a trap door underneath the building, they could see footprints in a 2-inch thick dust walking into the dark. Now, after the earthquake, the building is now just a 1-story building, where the 2 former stairwells used to be are just blacked out skylights. The rumor has it that at the bottom halves are the original doors are still attached there as well. Then Garden Grove is the Midnight Adult Bookstore. Supposedly, a man was stabbed during a bad drug deal back when the property belonged to a nightclub. Three adult bookstores was all owned by one company sitting next to each other in the location where the club used to be. Employees have reported sightings of a man in a cowboy hat who has a tendency to enter occupied video booths, and when the clerks react, he can never find him, since not more than one person's allowed in a booth at a time. And the stores experience odd noises at night and have the odd object fall off the shelves, as well as see shadowy shapes moving about every now and then. Georgetown, California, the American River Inn, said to be haunted by the ghost of an old miner. Then there's the Georgetown Fire Department, Station 61. A man from the mining days of Georgetown was captured on digital camera standing near the historic fire department building. They said he smiled happily and pointed at the map on the building while volunteer firefighters practiced ladder drills. Then there's the Georgetown Hotel. Woman who lost her lover committed suicide back in the days of the gold rush and jumped from the upstairs balcony. Number of witnesses reported seeing her in the upstairs rooms. How about Geyserville, Warm Springs Fish Hatchery? Reports of an elderly Indian couple seen roaming the grounds. The main building was haunted by the ghost of a woman who called the employees' names and changed the radio stations on the radio that plays through the speaker system. Four houses there had their own encounters with ghosts. The shower came on at all times of the day and night in one house. One of the other houses reported had a spirit of a child who would climb in the bed with the owners. That's got to interfere with getting it on, I guess you could say. Then in Gilroy, California, the Bonfante Gardens. At night after the park is closed, workers seen a small carousel in Claudia's garden turn on by itself. They hear the lights. Excuse me, they hear the music. They see the lights. The entire thing operates. Then in Gilroy is the Chitak-Tak Adams Interpretive Park. The Chitak-Tak Adams Interpretive Center on Watsonville Road is the site of an Indian burial ground now covered under the asphalt parking lot. Drivers have reported that at night when driving by, their air conditioners in their cars were turned on and blast cold air at them. And there are trails to take through the park to see ancient rock carvings once made by a native Ohlone tribe. This was once the main village for the area. And also on Gilroy, Highway 52, it's referred to as Blood Alley. Been numerous sightings of a woman searching for a child. Others have heard the sound of a stagecoach and the snorting and breathing of horses. And there's a rumor that a woman was killed by a truck driver and she appears in the passenger seat of trucks and screams and then vanishes. Then in Gilroy's Mount Madonna State Park, mansion ruins and surrounding areas are haunted by former owner Henry Miller and his daughter. Daughter's been seen in open fields riding a horse. Now, she was killed on site while she was riding. In fact, she fell off the horse and broke her neck. And there have been ghostly visions on horseback and the mist seen floating in the hills for decades. Also been reported an unidentifying man would call the kiosk at the park to report the strange sightings to park employees. He stated he and a companion were driving down Pole Lane Road, which runs through the park at about midnight, and a girl with a long white prom dress was seen walking. They decided not to offer to pick her up. Then in Gilroy's, the old Gilroy Hotel, there are said to be two ghosts that haunt this building. A woman in her 20s and the other one's a little girl. According to the story, when the building was a hotel, a man went in and killed and raped two women. The woman is seen at the top of the stairs, the little girl is seen in the hallway. Footsteps are heard, and the electric piano's keys are struck when it's not plugged in. Lights will go on and off. Little girl sometimes seen looking out the window. One employee reported being touched on the back of the neck by one of the ghosts. And when folks lock up for the night, the doors are rattled as though somebody's locked inside and can't get out. All right, in Gilroy's, the South Valley Junior High School. Inside the OROP building in the hallway, footsteps are heard by the night shift. When they investigate, nobody's located in or around the area. Then in Glen Ellen, the Wolf House, Jack London's house. The feeling of the place is one of dread. Visions of seeing the house in flames and hearing cries for help have been encountered by quite a number of folks. Then there's the railroad crossing of Glen Ellen. It said Glen Ellen by the railroad tracks, if you put your car in neutral with your car not facing the railroad tracks and wait 2 or 3 minutes, ghost of six kids will start to push your car slowly at first and rapidly try to get you to the tracks. If you try to stop, it's difficult if they gain their full speed. And you can verify this by driving to the closest gas station, and if you look closely, you can see their little handprints. Now, I've heard those type of stories at quite a number of locations around the country. Well, we've come to the end of another show. We'll be back tomorrow night when, once again, you'll be listening to Ken Hudnall on the Ken Hudnall Show. Until then, have a truly great evening.